We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
Afternoons on the Score.
The White Sox don't employ anyone at any level who's better at their job than Jason Benetti is at his. Stoney calls Benetti.
He is truly the Bob Costas of the next generation.
Fun in baseball is not allowed. We have to yell at each other because he flipped his bat.
Jason's a better broadcaster than Luis Robert is a center fielder.
Robert lays out. Oh, no, he didn't. Outrageous 88.
It's on one hand. The best in our industry at doing this.
Nobody's here to watch, but everyone at home has their hearts in their throats.
To right field, Adam Engel is there! A no-hitter! The 19th in White Sox history!
We got some good news. The White Sox have picked up the multi-year option for Jason Benetti.
Oh, yeah!
You know what? I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving!
The woo people are out.
Yeah, that's really pleasant.
Woo! And we're doing it better than anybody else alive! Woo! Woo! We've only just begun, you understand? Learn to love it! Learn to live with it! Woo!
I don't think we overdid that intro, frankly. If anything, I think it's a little understated for this news. The newly re-signed Jason Benetti on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Benetti?
To be the best, you gotta beat the best. I don't know. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Congratulations, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Danny. That was something. I kind of feel like I need to put somebody in a figure four leg lock right now.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. That's what happened to me, actually, years ago. That's why all this happened.
So, listen, I said yesterday, and I've said it before, that you're better at your job than anyone employed by the White Sox is at theirs, including Luis Robert or Dylan Cease or anyone anywhere, and they'd be fools not to have you back. And, you know, I could be your publicist, but yesterday was a weird day because it was in the newspaper that there wasn't a deal, and then by the afternoon there was a tweet that there was a deal. So what happened? What happened, Jason?
It was really weird timing, honestly. First of all, you're very kind to be such an advocate for me and my work, and I appreciate the heck out of it. And to be honest, like, I was getting ready to do Purdue, Michigan last night with Bill Raftery, and I was reading people's tweets, and I was like, man, I truly was a little overwhelmed because I was like, these people really do care about what we do. And I think it's awesome. And it's like, you know, for sure. We get into this as young announcers because we go to this school at Syracuse and we're like, we're going to go be the next whatever. And it's hyper competitive and it's crazy town there. And there's so much that goes into it. And you kind of pour your soul into the craft of doing what you do and what I do. And to have people feel that way is really a beautiful thing. So it was a very weird day. Raf, I had told Raf a little bit over lunch, like, he's like, well, you're looking at your phone, right? You know, sort of thing. And I was like, yeah, this story came out, but like, I think we're good. And we were like, there was just paperwork that had to get done. So we got it done and here we are.
How close were you to leaving?
Oh, that is the I love this job so much. I really, 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 really do love this job so much. And I think everybody knows that 2021 was hard on me with the travel stuff, and there was some strife there and all that. And, you know, like, there was a little bit of, like, experiential learning. Like, I felt a little bit like a player. Like, I now know what the arbitration process is like, where, like, people walk into a room and they're like, yeah, you know, like, is it, are you that good? You know, that sort of thing, right? Like, you hear about with the players all the time. But I'm obviously joking, but I want to be here, and I have always wanted to be here, and there's really no circumstance that, you know, especially just surveying how well it's gone with Steve and how much I've enjoyed it and how great so many people in the organization have been, I want to be here. So the answer is not close, but, you know, it took until January, and that's whatever it is.
Yeah, so Jason Benetti with us, voice of the White Sox, but also the voice of a lot of things for Fox and last year Peacock and formerly ESPN. You know, I'm a broadcast dork, much like you are. There are not five people in the world that I would say are better at television play-by-play of sports than you. There are maybe a few that I would rank, you know, there, personal preference, whatever. You are on a very, 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 very short list. So you are, therefore, in demand. You just called NFL games, for crying out loud, for Fox. That's about as big as it gets in our world. The story in the paper was talking about, you know, games missed and other opportunities. How many games are you allowed to miss going forward?
It is in the range. It's a little bit less than if people saw. I don't know if I'm supposed to give the official number.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's a turn. I don't know if I'm supposed to give the official number, but it's going to be a little bit more than what I took off last year, because I'm going to end up doing Fox Saturday Baseball most Saturdays. But it's a number that worked for both me and the team. And I don't know if I'm officially supposed to say the specific number, but I am going to say, you know, I missed something like 25 or 26 last year, and it's more than that, but not 50. It's not even close to 50.
Okay. No, that's so yeah, so that's interesting, man. So, like, how many games do you do in a year? Like, broadcast games, White Sox and everything else?
Yeah, so this coming year, I mean, I'll probably do, like, 25 basketball games for Fox, and then 15 football games and baseball and whatnot. So it'll probably end up somewhere in, like, the, I don't know, 190, 200 range.
That is so insane. Like, I don't think that people that, like, you know, oh, I work 200 days. Yeah, but you also, like, the amount of travel, the amount of hours on TV, the different sports, the different networks, that's a pretty crazy thing that you're able to do. And you're an ambitious guy, right? So you're going to do Saturday Fox for baseball, and then are we going to see you on more NFL? Is that a part of the Jason Benetti plan?
I have the Jason Benetti plan. That I have no idea. I will say, the season I had with Brock Heward and our producer, Bo Garrett, and our sideline reporter, Allison Williams, and Darren Foster, our director, and our entire crew, and I know I sound like a NASCAR pit crew
yeah.
guy, like saying, like, thank you to the Haviland 43 car, that sort of thing, right? But I had the best season of college football anybody could have ever imagined, because it was a we. Like, our team was so cohesive. Everybody is, like, kind and generous and loves having everybody there together. Like, it was the most family-like season I've ever had. And so, like, that is something I don't want to give up anytime soon, just because there's so much flux in this industry and people move all the time. But I love that dearly. And Brock Heward is, like, he is a dream partner for a play-by-play announcer. He gets performance, but he preps his tail off. He's a radio host too, so he understands, like, how much novelty you have to be really, really good at it. So yeah, I love that dearly. I really did.
That's interesting. So that's the college football team. Then you did Peacock, and now you'll be doing Fox Saturday Baseball. The Peacock thing was working with local broadcasters. Fox will just be like whatever the national game of the week is. Is there a regular analyst for that gig?
I don't think so. I think it will depend. I have not heard. I think they're just starting to work on the schedule. I don't know for sure. I've not heard anything about that. But, you know, like to your point about 200 games, there are people who work way harder, right, in the world. But I will say you don't have to be a psychologist to understand, like, why I want to go and do 200 games, right? Like, why I'm so adamant that, you know, I'd be able to do both, if at all possible, the White Sox and something else. Because when you grow up and, like, you're in and out of hospitals, not to be maudlin here, but, like,
no,
not like I was traveling a ton as a kid. So you get this feeling of, like, first of all, I love traveling. I love getting to see other places. But also, I really like to do things that people kind of don't assume I can do. And so being on a plane and getting to do all these games and having a great time with it, like, it's going to end at some point. And so I might as well enjoy the heck out of it while I still can. So, you know, that's part of the reason. It's not like I don't want to do White Sox games. I just love the variety that other things provide. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it, man. Like, you grow up and you don't know how mobile you're going to be. And, like, you don't know if somebody's going to put you on television, you know. Traveling becomes a really good idea. And, like, expecting respect and appreciating the heck out of audiences who give that to your work is a really cool thing.
And I know you felt the respect locally with that announcement yesterday, and you certainly get it nationally as well, man. You truly are one of the best. You're ambitious, right? Is that fair to say? You're driven? Like, it's, and it's not just because you want to call the biggest events. You want to represent and be seen by the biggest audiences because of your background and your story and your talent.
Well, because people don't do it. Like, our Walt Jr. from Breaking Bad, RJ Mitty, is an actor with cerebral palsy. Like, Marley Matlin has made a great career with some hearing issues, right? In the end, I guess in like a faulty way, I assumed in the back of my mind, right? Like, if you get really, really good at something, people are going to stop assuming things about you. That's definitely not true. Or, like, they're going to stop trying to push you around. That's not true, right? Like, people see how I walk. It's amazing. When I'm at the airport, I walk by people who are like those free credit card people. You know, they have like a 5,000 points if you sign up today thing. I always get stopped by those people because they think I'm an easy mark. And I want to be like, yeah, actually the terms and conditions don't apply. But instead I just keep walking, right? So, but I have this, you know, like I am a driven person in part. People can call it a chip on my shoulder, but like I kind of think a little bit like that's why I get Sox fans, because sometimes you just kind of get mad at stuff. There's a Netflix documentary called Crip Camp about all these people who had disabilities growing up, and they all went to the same camp. It was like this revolutionary camp, and these people ended up actually being the ones who advocated for the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. And early in the movie, one of the people at the camp says, if you grow up with a disability and you have a passive demeanor, you're probably screwed. And so passivity just doesn't work for me. And that's kind of where this all comes from. If people wonder, like, why he's going to do other games, or, you know, why he's frustrated they're not traveling, or, like, I'm just kind of looking for my shake here. Because if I just sit by, I'm going to get eaten up by the world.
Do you feel like you still aren't given credit or appreciated, or people try to push you around within the industry?
You know, I've had a couple of experiences, even after I became Jason Benetti, White Sox announcer, where people have said stuff to me that I think is like, you know, when people say, you know, that I need respect that's outsized for people, you know, for like normal people, I don't like that. And I've heard that, and it's frustrating.
When people say
like, hey, you know, to a friend of mine, if somebody says to a friend of mine, hey, you know, his assignments aren't affected by his disability, we understand his situation, which I've heard has been said as well. That makes me sound like I'm some sort of charity case. I'm not. And I'm, you know, I'm one of many people in this city who's very skilled at this. But, I don't mean to turn this into some fire and brimstone thing, but, like, I will always appreciate Fox for coming to me as a free agent and saying, we want you. That's just not something that happens to people who look like me in this country. And it's not an excuse. It's just true. And I will always appreciate the Sox for giving me the chance in the first place. And that's kind of why we are where we are.
Can you tell us how many years? They said they exercised your multi-year option and signed Steve Stone. I was like, well, those are different verbs. And if you can't,
yeah,
it's fine.
I can't. I don't think
all
that's
good.
Something I'm at liberty to do, but it is multi, and I am, I can't really say that. It's not something that I feel like I'm allowed to express.
No, that's fine. They're lucky to have you, and you don't have to say it. I'll say it. They're lucky to have you. You could get any job in broadcasting if anyone actually watched and listened to the gig. Steve Stone calls you the Costas of the generation. You are, I mean, Mike Tirico, Ian Eagle, you're on a very short list. There are people at Fox and ESPN that call bigger games that are not as good as you. Eventually, you will surpass them within that network because the people there are very talent-friendly and they're astute and they'll recognize it. It would not shock me at all, man, if you were calling World Series or Super Bowls or whatever one day. You are absolutely on that path.
You know, I appreciate that more than you know. I thank you for saying it. It is not easy, man. Like, when I will just say to anybody, like anybody out there listening, when you have something that every day people can judge you for, and you've chosen a judgmental industry,
yeah,
it's not easy. And like, I hope people know that I live with something, they live with things. Like, I know you've been through your own stuff recently, and I don't know how you go on the radio sometimes. Like, I just don't. And I know you've been open about some of it, a lot of it. And I appreciate the heck out of you. And I hope people understand that what they are dealing with, it's going to be okay if you have people around you who care. And I know you have that, and I have that. And, I don't mean to turn this into like a clinical situation or anything too sad, but there are a lot of people who live with a bunch of stuff. Like, I lost a friend of mine during the baseball season to cancer. She was 39. And I know you've had loss in your life too. And I'm really, really fortunate to be healthy. And so are you, and so are so many people out there. But I do want people to know, like, if you have something that's kind of sucks in life, the best thing you can possibly do is get good at whatever you like to do.
And man, I'm happy, you've been there for me, and I'm trying to always going to be there and be an advocate for you. Now tell me some good drinking with Bill Raftery stories. Come on now.
Oh man. He is the best. First of all, Bill Raftery is the most generous person in America. Like, he will have anybody to dinner. He is the kindest, gentlest soul. The other night, we're in Ann Arbor. I'm going to get dessert. And he's like, all right, I'll have a cookie. He orders a cookie with whipped cream on it, which, like, what? He orders a cookie with whipped cream, and he's eating it. And he, like, basically says, you got to have some of this. Like, over and over again, you got to have some of this. And so I eat, like, two bites of this cookie. At shoot-around yesterday, at both Purdue and Michigan shoot-around, he turns to people from both teams and he goes, this guy couldn't get his hands off my dessert. I was was like, wait, what? You can't do that. So that we had Purdue, Michigan State, and if you go back and watch our open, Bill had said before the game, and he never does this, so I was like, oh, I wonder why he wants to do this. He's really got something he wants to say. He says, please tell me how to guard, like, he says, please say to me, how do you guard Zach Edey? Right? 7'4", huge dude. And I'm like, okay, he's got something he wants to get into. So we come on the air and I go, well, Bill, how do you guard Zach Edey? He goes, I thought you were a professional. I don't know how.
And then you can't out him on TV for saying, you told me to ask you that, Bill. That's incredible.
No, we're doing the open of a big game. I can't. First of all, I'm not going to cut him off. Second of all, there's no place for it because I got to do the Jeep starting lineup, right? And so he's got me, and I got to look at him on camera and bite my lip. But he's like, I thought you were a professional.
Oh, my God, is that great. Well, you are a professional despite what Raftery thinks. And thank you for the candor and the openness. And, again, man, no matter how it happened or whatever was written in the Sun-Times or weird timing or a weird day on your phone, it's an incredible accomplishment to be re-signed, extended by your hometown team that you grew up being a fan of in a city that you're from, a city that where you're beloved, and have your national profile grow, man. So continued success, and thank you for the time today, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thank you. That's Jason Benetti, everybody. We are lucky to have him. We are lucky to have him, and I'm lucky to call him a friend. We got a big promotion that we'll talk about coming up in 20 minutes. We'll go to every NFL city coming up at 5 o'clock. We have guests from Philly, San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Carrington Harrison.
Danny, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
I will ask Carrington Harrison at 5:15 or so what his favorite Halloween candy is. That's going to be very, very exciting to finally get him on the record. And we maybe got a little surprise for him as well. But we'll hear some laughable Bears takes next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on The Score.
Thanks to Jason Benetti for his candor. We'll do an NFL whip around all four cities coming up at 5 o'clock. Preparing you for Championship Sunday. The four best teams in the NFL. And I think they are the four best teams, not just the four teams that have earned the right to play on Championship Sunday. But a radio legend from Philly, Howard Eskin, was on with, this is Mullion Haw, correct?
Yes, with Zach Zaidman filling in this morning.
With Zach Zaidman. I heard the big segment. I did not hear this Howard Eskin segment, but I heard Bernsey saying that I didn't hear the clips, but he said it was just a parade of wrong. Well, you know, the dream is, right, that how can the Bears become the Eagles? Well, the Bears are like seven Pro Bowlers short of being the Eagles. But Howard Eskin was on the morning show, and he had takes.
The Giants are a fraud, just like the Cowboys are a fraud. So that's not a good test. They beat a bad Minnesota team. What a division that you guys are in. That division sucks. It's a joke. It really is a joke. And, you know, the Bears, what are they, 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away?
Oh, man.
And they're in a bad division. The worst 13-win team that I think I've ever seen in the NFL was Minnesota. But no, so that wasn't a real test. This is a test. This really is a test. Yeah. Who's your quarterback? Is it going to be Fields? Or are they going to Mickey Mouse around with that again too?
Okay. No, I think it's Justin Fields. Yeah.
Okay. Right, for the time.
Hey, he's the next Jalen Hurts. He's going to get better next year. He's going to be better.
Okay. Yeah, and knock yourself out.
He's 2 or 3 years away from being better than Hurts.
2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away.
Oh, Howard. See, you know what? I want more of it. I would have liked there would be a little bit more pushback, maybe. Like, it's like anyone could take the reservation. he is holding the reservation. Anyone can book the guy that's going to crap all over the local team and local sports heroes, but you got to push back on the crapper. But that's compelling radio. Good stuff from Mully and Zach this morning. Listen, I think that if you put Justin Fields on Philly and you put Jalen Hurts on Chicago, I think Justin Fields would have produced much like Jalen Hurts did. What are you guys laughing at over there?
Push back on the crapper, man.
Sometimes you have to, you know?
I feel a poo coming.
You gotta push back on that crapper, dude.
Yeah. Well,
you feel it coming, you're like, wait.
You gotta pinch.
Push it back on that.
Yeah. I feel a poo coming. I guess I'm really not in any position to criticize anyone's opinions or what they say into microphones, am I? Man, we can go from just a poignant, smart, inclusive, inspirational, some might say, conversation with Jason Benetti to crapping all over the crapper and feeling poos coming with Howard Eskin.
Yep, 5:10, Dr. Rob Sitrenberg coming on. We'll talk vaccine, COVID, go right back into it.
Good. Yeah, it'd been a while. It'd been a while.
A lot of people getting heart attacks.
Stop. You're a bad person.
No, I got like 4 shots.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Shock and awe, baby.
Yeah. Driving off the road as we speak. Wow. 2 to 3 years away, huh? Well, listen, here's the thing. If everyone in the Bears division is bad, then in theory the Bears could be good. That feels like something that you could progress to. And
you think the Lions are going to be bad, though?
No, but he was saying if Rodgers is leaving and he said the Vikings are the worst 13-win team he'd ever seen, that would be 2 of the teams. I think the Lions have...
I like them more than the Vikings next year.
Yeah, I do too. A couple of first-round picks to add to their offense and having Aiden Hutchinson on defense as a building block. The other DN whose name is escaping me at this moment. But yeah, Okuda never became what he was supposed to, but he's coming off an injury, still a piece. Like I think that you add a couple of nice defensive players this year. I'm a little surprised they're so all in on Goff, but he's still 28 years old, and they were a great offense, especially at home. They clearly have bought into the culture. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, has decided to stay. Panay Sewell is awesome.
Yeah, how do you turn your back on Goff at that point? After it's hard. I get what you're saying, because I don't think any of us would have said, oh, yeah, Jared Goff's going to light it up in Detroit. But how do you like walk away from that? He has to sort of prove you the other way before you make a decision there.
Yeah.
And Romeo Okwara is the other end.
Yeah, thank you. The problem is that... it's a similar situation that the Bears find themselves in, though obviously Goff performed at a much, much, much higher level in the passing game than Fields did. The argument is that you don't find yourself in a position to draft this high in the draft that often. That you very easily can just become a type of team that is, well, we won 6 games, we won 7 games, we won 8 games, and we were the type of team that put themselves in a position to get the 4th or the 5th best quarterback roster. Man, they got a high draft pick, and they've got 2 picks, so they could trade up. So they just are, they're in a unique situation where if they wanted to draft a quarterback and have him sit behind Goff for a year, they could. And they could still upgrade their team with another first-round pick and have their QB of the future. It's just, it's a rare opportunity to sit atop that. I was thinking of John Kaminsky, by the way, on Detroit. But go ahead, Tanner. No,
I was going to say,
I know that's not what you were going to say.
No, so. Like, could they, you know, be in a better spot if they traded Jared Goff to someone like the Dolphins, maybe, and then just try to get one of those guys in the top, and that they may be even more dangerous, some would say, and more worrisome if you're a Bear fan over the next 5 to 10 years, possibly.
Yeah, and the thing is that Goff was so good, and like, he's also been to a Super Bowl. Like Jared Goff was the number one pick, went to a Super Bowl with Sean McVay, and then had an awesome statistical season this past year in Detroit. And they're bringing everyone back, right? Jamal Williams will be back. DeAndre Swift will be back. Amon-Ra St. Brown will be back. They will bring back their team. And Jameson Williams, who looked amazing the last quarter of the season. Former first-round pick out of Alabama who's recovering from the injury. That guy's crazy fast, very good receiver. But yeah, Detroit's got a ton of pieces on offense.
But according to Jalen Johnson on this show, Amon-Ra St. Brown, let's pump the brakes there. I love the St. Brown family, but let's pump the brakes on Amon-Ra St. Brown.
A hilarious answer. He didn't like that I was putting him after the A.J. Brown conversation. But regardless, man, Jameson Williams might be better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're good. They are very good. But I should have this memorized by now, but I don't. NFL draft order. What do they have, the sixth pick? Yeah, sixth pick. Sixth pick from the Rams. So
Jameson Williams, Tanny, that's a wideout for the Lions.
I said that.
I'm just letting Tanny know.
Okay. If they believed in Will Levis or C.J. Stroud, you could trade up from six to, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever the case may be. Indy's probably not trading down, but fine. They could probably trade up to 1, 3, or 5 if they wanted to and go get their quarterback.
Ray Diaz in the back of the room right now wearing a Will Levis hoodie.
Really? Big Will Levis.
There's an apostrophe. It's a Levi's hoodie. Never mind. Sorry about that.
Could have seen that coming. Should have seen it coming.
Ugh, damn it.
And think Ray struck me as a huge Kentucky football fan. Why are you still here, by the way?
We ask that question every
day. Dude, it's Friday. Your show ended 2.5 hours ago.
He's got an opportunity to hang here with us. Come on.
We're a good time back here.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Tanny and I have a good time, both on the air and off.
Yeah.
And personally and professionally, both.
Good.
Great time.
I'm sure you do. That's amazing. It's good that someone is.
What does that mean?
Oh, come on.
What does that mean? You're not having a good time?
Come on.
With Speaks in the...
It's lonely in here. It's a little lonely. In the commercial break.
You can talk to us.
In the commercial break.
You can come in here and hang if you want.
It's too many steps. I'll just hang out. I had golf keeping me company for a little bit. That's all. Just lonely over here. We're going to go to four cities for Championship Sunday coming up at 5 o'clock. Talk a little big game, if you will, on the other side. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Do you think it would help if you went someplace so you could rest up a while?
You mean like Vegas?
Vegas is a good place to rest. It's a good place to do anything. Not rest, whatever the case may be. Also, it would be a good place to watch the big game. So joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is the Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa. They got their big game bash coming on coming to Stadium Swim. Mike Palm with us on the score. How's it going, Mike?
Danny, nice to talk to you. Usually I'm on with those Hammond, Eggers, Mully, and Haas, so nice to be on in the afternoon.
Yeah, we'll class the place up a little bit. What can people expect if they go to Circa for the big game? What do you guys got going on this year?
I tell you, what a party we have at the pool outdoor at Stadium Swim, which is, six different pools over two levels. The world's largest screen that we're going to show this event on. We've got some things, really special things planned. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Something really special is going to happen right around the national anthem. And then a fireworks show at halftime. We'll get 3,000 people out there. You can go to circa.com and still reserve a cabana, daybed, a poolside box, as well as just GA tickets, which include a special buffet for our GA customers as well.
You know, and so I've been to Circa once, hope to be back out there again soon. We had great weather when we were there in early October for Bears and Raiders, but even if it's, 50s or whatever, 60s, whatever the weather's, those pools are heated. So you guys are open year round. So it doesn't even really matter what the air temperature is. That just makes the pool party that much more of a pool party.
Yeah, you're right, Danny. 365 days a year, we're the only pool in Las Vegas that's open year round. The temperature is 96 in the pool. We could take all the pools up to 96. So even in December and January, typically Super Bowl weekend, though, it's nice here in the low 60s. You're getting into that beautiful mid-February, March weather.
That's perfect. And what about, I know you guys do squares that everyone will do for the big game, but you guys do it a little differently. How does Circa handle squares for the big game?
You know, we did it for years at all our parties on the boards and trying to keep track and then drawing the numbers and all that. So 2 years ago, we figured our way out with our sportsbook team that we actually offered as a wager. So for each quarter, you can go on your Circa Sports app and you actually pick the score for the quarter. You know, you can pick Chiefs 7, you know, Eagles 7 at the end of the first quarter, whatever it is. We'll know the teams by the time the squares come out. They'll come out this Tuesday following the championship games. And then there's an associated odds, you know, and the odds move as we take money on them. But it's no more random draw. You decide how much you want to bet. We'll take a bet as small as $1, and we'll take a bet that'll pay up to $100,000. So it's a really convenient way where, you know, you get your own numbers.
All right, so there's packages and rooms and obviously, you know, different levels down at the pool, but, you know, people can kind of group it all together, right? And, you know, I want a cabana and I want a room and I want to reserve the whole thing. Where do they go to be sure that they experience the big game unlike anything else at Circa?
Yeah, CircaLasVegas.com. You can put your package together along with the hotel, however you want to watch. Maybe you don't want to watch it at the pool. Maybe you want to still get a booth in the sports book. That's available. We actually have a massive outdoor party at our downtown event center as well that we'll have over 6,000 people at, world's largest outdoor Super Bowl party. So all those options are available on there. You can book them all at the same time. We'll hook you up with a host as well if you're a casino player. Come on out and enjoy the big game with us.
I mean, it's great. So you're the vice president of operations for the D, Golden Gate Circus. So you basically run Fremont Street in downtown Vegas. It's kind of amazing the revitalization that's happened down there to Old Vegas.
Yeah, it's great. And all the investment in the properties and really with our owner, it started with Derek buying into the Golden Gate and then, you know, purchasing Fitzgerald's and rebranding it in the D. And then he finally got to make his dream come true with this awesome property here in Circa, you know, the largest sports book in the world. He's a dice player and a sports bettor, and he built a place that someone like him would love.
Yeah, and I loved watching a full NFL slate with him, and you guys all out at Circa treated us so well. We hope to be back out there soon. Don't think I'll make it for the big game, but maybe a little bit after that. Hope to see you guys out there. It's heaven on earth for the sports fan. So, Mike, enjoy the big game. Thank you for coming on, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Thanks, Danny. See you soon.
Thank you. That's Mike Palm from Golden Gate, the D, and Circa. You can check it out. Go to their website. Book a cabana, book a table, whatever the case may be. Great place to watch sports, man.
I think it'd be really good, like, when it's kind of cold here, but kind of flirting with being warm, like, end of March would be my target, I'd say.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, last...
A lot of sporting events going on.
Last weekend of March.
That's when we went last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
You remember, Danny?
Oh, I do. I missed it when you guys went last year.
You weren't there?
I wasn't there. I was not having a kid.
We were there for my 30th birthday last year, and that's... I mean, it feels like a lot of people were there. It was comfortable. I would book that weekend again.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do that. All right. Sounds like a good idea. And there's sporting events that happen in that month.
Yeah. The tournament. College basketball. Amateur hoops.
Yeah. All right.
No more kids coming, right? Just in case.
No, again, like I told Jason, out of commission. No more kids possible. Steph wants another kid. Not my child. But I think she only wants to have kids with me. So we should be good. I think. I don't know. Maybe after I said that, she'll start reconsidering her other options. I don't know.
Which are what?
I'm sure she'd have plenty of options.
Dan Patrick?
If he met her. Who knows? But this just came out of kind of somewhat alarming. Travis Kelce on the injury report. The back injury. Probably from carrying the damn team. It's 17 targets in the last game. Wah, wah. I know. Sorry.
Katie made that joke yesterday about himself.
Oh, yeah, he did. That he was going to carry us once football season.
Before you cut me off rudely.
Yeah, when football season
your
ended.
Your anger took over.
Well, as it does, when you're a lonely single man, sometimes anger prevails.
How lonely are you?
Pretty lonely.
I mean, last night seemed pretty awesome for me, and I will get back to Travis Kelce in a second, but he made his great tuna, you know, crunchy rice things, and then he watched Banshees of Inisherin. Sounded like an awesome night.
Yeah, it was a good night. It's a good movie. Good flick.
Sounds like you... So you made some tuna for one?
Yeah. Well, I made a ton, and then I'll have some more tonight when I go home.
It's great.
It's like the raw sushi-grade tuna, a little spicy mayo all that stuff, a little sesame oil over some deep-fried crispy rice.
Sounds fantastic, man.
You got a lot of time, man. I'm not looking after some kids running around. My dog's pretty independent, and I take her out like once a week. Figures out the rest.
That's all you need.
I've got a 3-bedroom apartment, and I swear to God, on weekends, I don't see her for 5 or 6 hours.
Your dog?
Yeah, I don't know what she's doing. I never know what she's doing back there. She does her own thing, man. It's like having nothing.
Yeah.
I'll get home. She'll be happy that I'm there. It's like, all right, catching a few. Where are you going?
I mean, it sounds
awesome. But then I cry myself to sleep at night.
Right.
Right. There's such a large indent on one side of my bed, and the other side, perfectly propped up.
Yeah, no, like, that would get old after a while, but you're still young, so you're okay. It's fine. I am always surrounded by people that are always awake and always needing something from me. At all times.
That sounds horrible.
There's just like if we are like talking about like the responsibility spectrum, you are at one end and I feel like I'm at the extreme opposite end. But you know, I'm totally happy. It's all good. So much going on. Was that convincing? Was it convincing?
Yeah. We believe you, man.
Oh, good. Good. Travis Kelce, huh? That back injury. That'd be a real problem going up against the Bengals. But after we go around to every team that's playing this weekend, I do want to kind of finish the thought about the Bears roster compared to these NFC Championship teams. Because the turnaround happens fast if Fields takes the leap. That is well established. We know that. But obviously, you can have a great quarterback on bad teams and you don't win anything. The Lions with Matt Stafford would be an example. We saw there's limitations, right, on Lamar in Baltimore. Or we've seen Deshaun Watson in Houston. There have been examples of, like, wow, we think that team's got it at quarterback, but can they really win anything, or what's their ceiling until they actually build the rest of the roster? It's not just a quarterback sport. It's just a sport driven by quarterbacks, right? Mahomes and the Chiefs and Andy Reid have hosted 5 straight AFC title games. The rest of the roster, a lot of it's changed, right? Kelce and maybe one other guy have been there for all 5 of them, but coach and quarterback is the foundation. So if the Bears get it right at coach and quarterback, cool. But when you start thinking about who the best player is on the Bears right now, not named Justin Fields? Maybe you say it's Cole Kmet. Maybe you say it's Jalen Johnson. Whomever you think it is. Those guys would be very far down the depth chart of the hierarchy of the Philadelphia Eagles roster or the San Francisco 49ers roster. And it's kind of glaring, or jarring, I guess is a better way of putting it. More jarring than glaring of how far down they would be. It's
glaring works there, too.
I guess it does.
Yeah, you're too hard on yourself when you're solo.
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to let it run.
If you say something stupid,
you'll let me know.
Tanny and I will likely, like, our heads will, like, move up real quick and we'll make eye contact with each other. That was fine. Glaring works.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm hard on myself in, like, not when I'm solo, too, if it makes you feel any better. I'm hard on myself all the time.
Like that 40-minute drive home. Just thinking about everything you did that day.
Beat myself up.
Dude.
Yeah.
I would be if I wasn't riding the red line and saw 80% of people have it worse than I do.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm not rolling tobacco on the back platform in the red line car, you know? Not there yet.
Is red line full these days?
When I go home, yeah. When I leave, no.
I love this. Tales of the Red Line. The two guys who don't ride it anymore. What's the red line like now?
I used to ride it every day, a day.
It's reliable.
Yeah.
I'm front door to here in 30, 35 minutes. I'm paying $2.50 a day.
Does the conductor still greet you? All aboard. Welcome.
Some.
Happy Friday, everyone.
There are some. And like the welcome is nice, but then they do it for every stop. And you're like, dude, shut the hell up. I'm just trying to watch TikToks.
Right.
Girls with big butts.
That's your TikTok time.
It's my algorithm.
It's a good algorithm. They know they know you. Your phone, it's a smart phone. They figured you out. You rode it though when it was zero people on the train, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I rode the red line through the pandemic and I only got COVID like, I don't know, 14 times.
Yeah, so you were fine.
No, maybe once.
But that was That was some real, like, end of time stuff.
Well, yeah, Tanny and I both, and I think Tanny was riding the blue line a little bit through that. We are essential frontline hero workers.
Right. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
CPR.
You got anything else?
No, it was just CPR.
CPR. Yeah. That's what everyone said. That's how you would save people with COVID. Yep. You would perform CPR. Yep.
But big medicine does not want you to know that.
No, right. That's how they would get you. But all right, so you're an Eagles fan this weekend, right?
Go Birds, baby.
Go Birds.
Hell yeah.
All right.
AJ Brown, all the other ones.
I'm rooting
Brent Celek.
I'm rooting for Chiefs and Niners. Niners because of the bet. I've got a 19-1 bet on them from after the Garoppolo injury.
How many units?
Yeah, like a unit and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Tanny, $5,000.
When the playoffs started, you know, they, you know, bet MGM, they send out the questionnaire of all the people who endorse MGM, like, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And I'm like, I have not thought about it for 1 second. Oh, let's go Niners. So we're rooting Niners. I know they got a tough test on the road, but,
oh, there you go.
But we're both Niners guys, me and you.
All right.
Danny and I will be wearing our gold on Sunday.
Perfect. Yeah. Little red and gold party over there for the brisket. That sounds lovely. We will go to Philly, San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Kansas City around Championship Sunday. 4 guests in the next segment, about 5 minutes apiece. Get you totally prepared to say smart things when you're watching these games with your friends. It's coming up next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.